May I ask you another question then? How many, when you're driving, actually check out what's behind you? I think a whole lot more you're saying you do, and I don't think you do. Ever had anybody going down the road, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you look up, somebody's right behind you? That ever happened to you? So in other words, you didn't see them coming because you hadn't checked your rearview mirror in a recent time frame. That had happened to me the other day, and it scared the person that I came up behind. But I thought, you know, if you'd been looking, how could I scare you if you'd been looking? But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I'd been there for quite a while. He just finally looked in the rearview mirror, and he about ran off the road. And I'm thinking, well, dude, pick a lane, you know, whatever you like. But life so many times has a way of sneaking up on us. It has a time that we spend more time looking in the rearview mirror than we look through the windshield. When we need to be looking to see where God wants us to go, we're spending more time thinking about where God has taken us, things that he's done in our lives. And he's saying, I'm not done. Why do you think I'm done with you? The more you live your life looking in the rearview mirror, the more you think he's done with you. And I don't think God's done with any of us. He's not. He didn't say that we're supposed to spend our time looking backwards. You're supposed to spend your time looking forwards to what God wants to do with you now. I mean, what good is all this experience if you don't use it for the future? What good is it all the things we've learned if we don't apply it to where we need to be going? I mean, it's silly to learn things and then just, oh, well, they're just in my memory. And I'll just keep them there. And you don't share them with anybody. You don't make a difference in anybody's life. You know, we're finally getting into one of my favorite times of the year, and it's not because the weather's going to change and all that good stuff, or that we got some women's deal coming on with you wear a mask around here like that. Oh, they were cute. They were cute. I'm waiting for Mark to wear that around the house. That'll be something. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, but you know, one of the reasons is baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. I love to watch baseball when it's good baseball. I've seen some pretty boring stuff, but you know, it always reminded me of some of the statements from some of my favorite players, Yogi Berra. I mean, he had some of those timeless sayings ever. I mean, you know, this is just like deja vu all over again. You'll catch up to that one day. You know, or Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige was another one of the greatest black pitchers that came up through the leagues, was pitching in the major leagues all the way up into his 50s. And I think if you're after past 32, you're pretty much shot. But he was still doing it. But it reminded me of one more person in that group that really speaks to what I want to talk about today. One of the great entertainers, Ray Charles. You know, Ray Charles had a good insight to some things in life. And one of the insights that I had to write down for today was that he said, live every day like it's your last, because one day you're going to be right. I know that went over some people's heads. But one day it is going to be your last. One day you're not going to be talking about the future. But that's not today. It's not right now. Right now, God is saying to us, what are you going to do in preparation for the future that I have already laid out for you? Or are you just going to fold the tents and say, that's as far as I'm going to go, and I'm not going to go anywhere else? I think God has a lot of things. But I came to this passage this morning, and I visit this passage a lot. And it's not because that you've heard it preached a lot, but if you showed up with me in a cemetery, you'd heard this message. You've heard it because it's something that I use quite a bit when I get to that time when it's saying, the end is here. In the 90th division of the Psalms, one of the great psalms that was a prayer of Moses. He had a lot of great things to say, but it is a collection of what God has already done. It's a collection of honoring the things that have been said and have been done. So in Psalm 90, I just want to lift up a few of those verses throughout that passage. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to lift out a few of them. And beginning at verse number 1, he makes a statement there, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth or the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You know, I read that and I think about what God has done. I think he's reminding us that sometimes we have to be prodded once again to remember God has already done this in our lives. God has done great things. And we're still sitting over there, "Well, what are you going to do for me today?" We're asking him, "What are you going to do?" And he's asking us, what are you going to do for me today? What are you going to do that's different than what I've already done?" Skipping down to verse number 12. I'm not done with this passage, so don't think I'm jumping through it all that quick. "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." I ask that. I say that all the time. I say it to people because the people that are there witnessing the end of someone's life need to be reminded that their life is not finished. And they might have done something greater for that person that is now gone if they would have just thought about it. If they thought about what God had already done. You know, God lays out his love for us all the time. And he makes that so clear in those first two verses. "You've been our dwelling place for all generations. You are eternal. And you have blessed us eternally with the life we have in this world and the life that you have prepared for us in another world." And that's a great contrast to me. It's a contrast to what he gives us in verse 4. He says, "For 1,000 years are in thy sight, but yesterday as is past, as a watch in the night." Now, I don't know about you, but I was never a great watchman. You know, all overnight type deal. The guy sat there in his gun and watched the place. That was never going to be any good for me. Because that time frame between 2 and 4, you know, or 2 and 6 in the morning, that's a tough time. Now, I can wake up at 2 o'clock now, and unfortunately, I can't go back to sleep. I'd make a great watchman now. But it's not because I want to be one. It's because that's what it is. But God is pointing out here that our lives are so uncertain. They're so uncertain, but we need to be watching for what God wants to do. What's going to happen in life? We've all lived through the COVID. We're watching it right now. You're seeing it take place all the time. But he's saying to us, it's way more than a COVID. It's way more than the issues you're facing right now in your personal lives. He points out in verse number 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. A flood. What kind of flood? Could have been the great flood. Could have been Noah's flood. Could have been the things that God brought upon them. They are as sleep in the morning, and they wake like grass which groweth up. Oh, still mowing lawns, aren't you? These things, they say, well, that doesn't mean a lot. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that at any moment, I can spend time in dream world. I can dream up all the things. But, you know, like they say about a dream, how long does it take? Experts say just a few seconds. I must have a lot of dreams every night. I must put up mine on rewind or something. I don't know what the deal is on that. But they keep coming back. I think about the grass is growing. When do I think about it? Every day. Every day it needs to be mowed again. Lord, it's October for crying out loud. Isn't it about time to stop that? But you think about that because we're always grateful when the springtime comes. We're always thankful for those things to take place. He says in verse number 9, he said, our lives are like this. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. What are people going to say about your life? I don't know how many have said to me, well, when I die, I want you to say this, this, and this. Can I tell you something? You don't know what I'm going to say about you. And probably not what you're hoping I'd said about you. But he's pointing out that you still got a life. And it's being told every day. Are you telling your own story and living in your past? Are you telling a story that's going to take place? Are you still looking for something else to have? You know, we look at our national, what do you call it, the average of health today, and they're still saying it's way up in the 70s, like 77 point whatever. You know, that you could live that long. That's a natural life. That's longer than what is described in the Word. You know, you get 70 years. That's what he says on over here in the 91st Psalm. But we don't know when it's going to be shut off. He's given us an admonition today that life is short, to live it wisely. Seek out the things that we can do. Look forward to the things that he wants to do in our lives still. Some of you are so blasted old, you don't know what the future is because you've limited yourself to see the future. You're limiting yourself that this may not apply to me. I don't even have anything to worry about on that part about it. Well, what have you learned? If you've learned anything about God, God's not done. If you learn anything about what he has, he's got more stuff for us every single day if we would just wake up and see it. I got a few points I want to give to you today. What the years have taught me. And they've taught me a lot of things. I'm not so young anymore. That's one of the first things. No, that wasn't the point. That was a sidebar. Okay, I'll give you that one. Well, the first thing that I learned is that things are not so important. You know, I put them up there all the time. You know, the most important things aren't things. I know that's a good English phrase right there. Everything that people say about you, all the praise, it'll fade. It'll be gone. You know, I can't believe that A&M can beat Alabama. And we're writing it off as Alabama's done. I want to tell you something. A&M, next time they face Alabama's going to thump them like a... Never mind. I am not an Aggie fan, as many of you know. But I do know this. I know Alabama football. And next time won't be like this time. I got one more for you. Even in your pain, you don't have to be a pain. I'm saying that to myself as I keep moving around up here behind this pulpit. When you hurt, so you hurt, okay? You don't have to tell everybody about it. You don't have to be in it all the time. Only God has the right to look down at anybody. That's one thing I've learned. Amen. Only God has the right to look down, and he doesn't bother to waste his time with that with us anymore. And the last thing I got for you, when I die, am I going to leave a title as a pastor? Or am I going to leave a testimony? Five things that I think that are important to me. The first one I started out with, about things. You know, when I was young, things were important. That you got this thing, that you saved up money, you bought this, you did that. Cars were important. Clothes were important. Houses, one time in the future, that was going to be important. The games I got to play. In fact, I think games are probably more important about anything I did. You know, when's the next softball game? When am I going to do this? What's going to happen here? When am I going to travel over here to do this? You know, but maturity changes my perspective. It's never changed my perspective about games because I'm still looking forward to go out and playing another game. And yes, Howie, when I get this back fixed again, I will be playing golf again. No matter what my surgeon says, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to enjoy it. Why? How did I get there? I watch people whose lives are much older than mine or that lived a long, long life, like my grandma. My grandma Nellie, she was a little bitty thing. In fact, by the time that she died, she would have been about that tall. Now, she was probably this tall through her normal life, but as arthritis set in her back, she ended up about right here. You ever cross that lady? She beat the fire out of you. This is one grandchild that knew better than to ever cross grandma. You know, you just didn't do that thing. But she had so much. Through those 96 years that she lived, she had things. She set it back and so that at the end of life, and she made a very good thing. She listed everything that she had and who was going to get what. And they still fought over it. They still fought over every one of those kind of things, even though she laid it all out and this is what it is. And she was trying to tell them, I do have a few life collectibles, but it's not about things. It's about the time I got to spend with her. Did I want anything from her house? No. I wanted her. I wanted the lifetime of memories that that little lady gave me as a grandson. That's what I wanted. You see, it wasn't about her things. It was about her life. It's about the kind of thing. What was she going to leave me? She was going to leave me the best example of a grandma that I could ever hope to have. She was a true, true grandma. What made her home, which was so quaint and so only in a mobile home deal, and it was an old mobile home, it was her. That's what made it nice. That's what made all the difference. And you know how that is. You've seen that happen. You know, that it's not about where they lived, about what they said. It's about who they were. So it wasn't about things, because it was always about who she was. Now, there are, I've been blessed to be around people that have things, and they've been very gracious and generous with those things to me. And I have no gripes about it. I mean, they've been giving. I praise God for that. But it always reminds me about what is important, whether things are important or whether anything else in life are important. And Cody, do you remember, I think you gave an example one time. You used a big mayonnaise jar and golf balls and... What's that?
Mr. Jarvis did it.
Oh, Cody, take some credit when I'm giving it to you. Wade's not here, Cody. Jump up there and take credit for it when I'm giving it to you. But anyway, we had it. We've seen it. It's the one where he takes an empty mayonnaise jars and he takes a bunch of golf balls and he pours the golf balls in there. I made sure those were old golf balls that none of us would ever use again, and pour them all in that thing, and he filled it up, and they looked at it and he said, "Is it full?" And everybody said, "Oh, yes, it's full." Well, you all remember that. Then he took the pebbles and he dumped the pebbles in on top of the golf balls and he shook it around a little bit. And is it full? Yes, it's full. Then he takes the sand and he pours in on top of that and he shakes it around a little bit and the sand all filters down. And is it full now? And they said, "Oh, yes, it's all full." Then what do they do? No, we don't drink water, dude. Hey, I'm telling the story. You don't know what you're talking about. He had two cups of coffee. And he took the cups of coffee and he poured them in. And they just went right down. Is it full now? Well, it was to him. And he said, "Well, why did you use two cups of coffee?" He said, "There's always time for some coffee with a friend. When grandma's gone, there was no more time to have any coffee. She was gone. Never to be told, never to be said again. But I made sure that she got her flowers when she lived. I spent time, not all the time I wanted to, because she lived in Indiana. I lived in Texas. I didn't get to do what I really like to do. The most important things are not things. I'm blessed. You're blessed. I'm glad that you have something. I'm thrilled for you. I hope you get more. I hope you get all that you need. But what is the most important thing in all of that is relationships. It's family. It's God." Message to my family. You can pass it along. Terrence, don't be looking someplace else. I'm talking to you. I put him on the front row and you think he'd get something out of this stuff, don't you? No matter how you feel towards your parents, remember this: when they're gone, you will miss them. And I think everybody knows that there have been times in life that you've been sideways with parents, especially when you get a little older and you think you know everything, and they say something you don't agree with, and you get all fluffy and all huffy about it. Well, get over it. Because when they're gone, you'll miss them. And that's all I got to say about things. Let's talk about praise. That's another thing that I've learned in life. All the praise that you get in this life, it won't mean anything. It'll be gone. It always fades away. You know, I look back on that. I look back on that, and I realize one thing. It's been a few years ago, and hopefully I practice it. Don't take yourself too serious. Because nobody else does. I'm telling you that very thing. Don't think you're so important because nobody else thinks you are. Don't think it's always going to be about you, because it's not. We try to live our lives in what's one, and it makes me think you think it's all about us, but in reality, it's not about us. It's not about what we think or what we should do. Remember, you remember the movie Patton? Remember how he told the story right at the end, right when he was getting down to the end, and he comes out and he tells a story about a Roman general. The Roman general came back from a big war, and he accomplished all these things, and there was going to be a big parade. Anybody remember this part about Patton? Go back and watch it again, okay? It's a victory parade. They're coming in, and first come the trumpets, and they're blasting away, and all the stuff. He described it so beautifully. And then came the strange animals, the animals that were not native to this country, you know, to that. And they came right on through, and they just did all the stuff that, you know, the strange animals were there. And then here comes the chariots. The chariots come in with all the treasures that they got from the, overcoming this group of people. And then they came along, after the chariots, came along the slaves. And they marched all the slaves through, all those that had been taken into slavery by the Roman general that won this great war. And he had all of these people. But along with that came his family. His family's riding in the chariots, and they're going on just with the conquering general. But there was one interesting part about it. He said, I want you to notice that in the general's chariot, there was a slave in his chariot with him. I wish you guys could remember some of this, because that's good stuff. That slave was saying to him all the time, all glory is fading. All glory is fading. All glory is fading. He was a conqueror today. He may be a victim next time. We may think that everything that we have today, all the achievements that you've made, all the things that you did, you know, it'll be forgotten. It will be. There'll be years that, you know, they'll talk about this and they'll talk about that, but it'll be forgotten. I like Paul Powell, was a great writer, a dean at Baylor. He tells a story about a prominent doctor in his area up in East Texas that when he passed after a long illness, he had Alzheimer's, his wife had died earlier, and they had already taken all of his stuff. And they had, the kids had taken it, and, you know, they sold off whatever, you know, took their keepables, they did that. Well, a lady was over and further over in East Texas, and she was in a little diner. And she looked up on the wall, and there was his doctor's degree. His graduation, doctorate, you know, doctorate of medicine. He's an MD with all the things. I have to stop and think that, how proud he must have been when they gave him that degree. All the work that he put into that to get that degree. All the things that that one little piece of paper symbolized. Everything that he had accomplished, everything that he was going to live his life for, all the things that he was going to do. So the lady asked the guy, the proprietor of the store, she said, what will you take for that degree? What would you take for that piece of paper on that wall? Ah, take it. It ain't worth nothing. That was his reply. When she shared that with Dr. Powell, he knew the man personally. And it made him stop and think about all the diplomas, all the awards, all the things that you might have in life, things that you have accomplished, all those things. One day they're going to end up here and Cody's going to sell them in our garage sale. How much you want for that? 25 cents. Can you imagine? It's okay. I won't be here, Terrence. Sell it. I don't care. Do you think that it was worth anything? Well, it's worth something to me. I hung on to it for all these years for some reason. But it'll be sold at the garage sale. It'll be something that nobody wants because it's worthless to them. It wasn't them. You got anything in your life like that right now? Do you have anything of value? We'll talk about you at your funeral. I will. I'll say good things about you. People have told me, oh, it depends on how much money you give me before I start, though. You might want to start saving up right now. But there will be glowing testimonies. Will be tough, and we've seen this because we've lost a lot of people in 3 years. We've seen this, and we'll talk about it, how great it was, all the great attributes. Cody, you always remember that Wade was the one that did that example. You know, he did so many things. I remember them all the time. But I remember more about who he was. Because everything that took place right there, you may hear all of a sudden somebody over here died. Oh, man, I'm sorry. He was a great person. But that may be it. And his life is finished in this world. So you see, all the praise, all the accolades, everything that you have, you know, if you're trying to impress somebody, impress them with who you are in Christ. Don't try to impress them by degrees. Don't try to impress them with anything else. Impress them because one day it won't mean anything. It will not mean a thing. That's something I learned getting older. I guess today I'm learning even more is what I said to you earlier. I said, you know, even if you're in pain, don't be a pain. Because there's plenty of people around that, you know, they are a pain. Preachers get together all the time. We talk about you. Talk about ourselves, too, all the time like that. Because we know we can be a pain. Sometimes we mean to be one. But you don't have to be. You don't have to grow old and crotchety. And too many people do that very thing. They've gone through a hard, long life. The little lady that just left in the back, yep, 98 years old. Can I tell you something? She'd been through a lot of hard things. The loss of a child. She's walked through in hard times, seen things that many of us wouldn't like to see. She's experienced accidents where it almost lost her life. She's gone through all of these things. You know what she could be? She could have been bitter about how God allowed this to take place, but she's not. You can either be bitter or you can be better. And she's always chose the better. Everybody's going to suffer sometime. It's going to be hard. You're going to go through it. Every one of us are going to have it. We've all had it. And it's not optional. You don't get to vote on it. You're going to get it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the pain that God allows to come into your life? And there's different kinds of pains. I know that. There's physical pains. There's mental pains. There's emotional pain. There's all of those things that come our way at times. And Christians get them. But for some reason, that's when Christians don't act like what Christians should act like. They think there should be a clause in there. If I'm going through this, I ought to be able to act like the world acts. I ought to be crotchety. I ought to be all of those kind of things. You know, there have been times in my life that I've watched people in churches. And not necessarily. It has to be that church down the street that I preached in one time. I love that. Dave Carter has insights to everything. But there are some Christians that I've been around that are so cantankerous and so mean-spirited that if they were in the arena with the Lions, I'd cheer for the Lions. Because I think they got what they deserved. But when you're 98 years old and you're still sweet and she still tries to find things to lift you up with and still thinks that she ought to be able to take on all of the problems in your life, when she still sees joy, she still has enthusiasm, and she still wants to spend her life influencing young people. She's not wrapped up in herself. She's wrapped up in what can I do for my future? How can I make a difference in somebody else's life? I hope that even in your pain today, that you aren't a pain. The fourth one is about lifting people up. I've learned this too. God is the only one that can look down on somebody, and he doesn't. Even when you're wrong, even when you stink, even when you got spiritual BO, some people do, God still loves you. God's still there to lift you up. That's what the job that he has given to Christians, that we are to be there for other people. We are to be there like Paul did. He spoke about people with dignity. Jesus made that very clear all the time. Every time that he came, the woman at the well, I mean, if we're crying out loud, she'd been married 5 times, she's living with a man, Everything about it, not, no respectable woman would even go to the well at the same time with her. But what did Jesus say to her? He laid out all the things, but it was not condemning. It wasn't. He laid out everything about her life. He said that there was more sadness in that life than there was badness. And that all she needed was the water that he could give, and it made a difference. Her life would change, everything about it. For some reason, we have thoughts that we need to drink from every well all around the world to try to find happiness, try to be satisfied, when we know that Jesus is the only living water, and he's the only one that will satisfy. He gave it to the woman at the well. He gave it to the woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. And you remember what he was doing at that point? He kneels down, they drag her out there half-clothed, throw her out there in the middle of everything, and he sits there in John chapter 8, and he talks about her. He draws in the sand. I don't know what he wrote in the sand. I think it was the only sermon he ever wrote in the sand. Well, that's the only time I've ever been remembered that he ever wrote anything. To me, I'd be down there writing down all the guys' names that I know had been with her. You know, if you're going to accuse her of adultery, where's the guy? What's going to happen to him? But Jesus just writes in the sand. Don't know what he wrote, but I know this. From the eldest unto the least of those condemning her left. They took a hike. To the point she was there by herself. And he asked her the question, where's your accusers? Does nobody accuse you? And she could only answer looking around. She looked up then, and there wasn't anybody there. What did Jesus say to her then? Well, you sorry piece of junk, you deserve to go to hell and burn forever. No, never say that. He said, no man accuses you. I'm not condemning you. Go and sin no more. Go let my life in you change you forever. Go and sin no more. And that's what happened. That's what the difference is. That should be the difference that we have, that we should be those that lift up the positives. That when all the negatives are all around and everybody's pointing down at it, we should apply the very things that God said. People are under enough self-condemnation. They don't need you to point out their shortcomings. They don't need you to act in righteousness, act like you're better. No, what they need is that for you to say that I am here to undergird and to lift you up. And how do you do that? Only by the strength of Christ. You're not better. I'm not better. My job is to lay out before them their need of Jesus and then take them to him. That's what we did. Jesus did it for one named Zacchaeus. He changed his life. He did all those things. When nobody wanted anything to do, he was a traitor. He was everything else. And you know what I think about the little song about Zacchaeus. You know, so I don't think very highly of that song, but... You know, you guys keep singing it, so we'll keep hearing it. You know I'm telling the truth on that part right there. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to your house, and everybody's going to point a finger, and they did, that they couldn't believe that he'd have anything to do with such a sorry person. Can you believe that Jesus came to your house? Can you believe that in your own personal lives, that such stellar, wonderful people that we all were, how golden we were, and that he's lucky to ever got us. That he came, and that he said to you, or he said it to me, I forgive you. I hope that's your story today. I hope that resonates with what you are today. He never treated anybody shabbily, even the ones that really deserved it the most. He told them truth, but he didn't treat them shabbily. He gave him all of that. He was able to cast out the demons to get to the soul, to make a difference, to lift up, to bring them out of all the things that are pushing them down. He came to lift them up. And that's what he's commanded every one of us to do. Not to look in the negative. Not always point out the things that's wrong. How about pointing out something that's right? How about spending time picking out the things that are good and wonderful? You know, we may not get our way. We may not get it. It may not everything be going the way we want it to go. But we still need to follow his example. How many times was Jesus rejected? I'm not talking just at the cross. All through his life, he's at his home church. He preaches. He says that, yes, I am the Messiah. What do they want to do with him then? Make a parade and go downtown with him? No, they want to take him up on that hill that I stood on, and they wanted to stone him and throw him off that steep hill. And I'm telling you, it was a big hill. It's really a face of a cliff, honestly. That's what they wanted to do with him. He was rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever been told that you're just no good? People don't want to be around you? That's what these people, every one of them, had faced in their own personal lives. That Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about? I think he does. I think he knows enough to say, we don't need to stoop down to other people's level and give back to them what they're giving out. We need to stoop lower to that and say, I'm here to lift you up out of the problems that you have today.
Amen.
So, all the praise, it'll be fading. All the things that we think are so important, it'll go away. How great we think we are, it's no comparison to how great Jesus is. The last one is this. Testimony or title? I think you ought to be proud of the things you've accomplished in life. I think working hard, going to school, getting a degree is something you should be very proud of. The determination that you put into it. How you lived your life. Things that you accomplished. I think all of those can be used, and they're worthy of the pride that you put into them. But I know this, in comparison to what Jesus gave us, we have nothing. We absolutely have, we have nothing right there. So when you get ready for me to get up and read this 90th Psalm one day in your life, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. When I read that last passage right there, and I might, if God allows me to live longer than you, I might have that opportunity. Are you going to leave a testimony, or are you going to tell everybody what you did? I don't read a lot of obituaries today. I bypass that. People know who these people were. I don't need to tell them about how they're the seventh degree of the Masonic Lodge or the seventh degree of the Lions Club or, you know, whether they save snail darters. What I need to do is say, this is who they were in Jesus Christ. This is what needs to be lifted up. And one day, yeah, we'll die. And I kind of like what Tony Campola said about that. He said, one day you're going to die. We're going to take you out to that thing. We're going to kick dirt in your face. He's funny. We're going to kick dirt in your face. They're all going to stand around and mourn until they come back to the church and they serve fried chicken and eat potato salad. Everything's going to be fine then. It's all going to be great at that part right there. So are you leaving a testimony? Or are leaving all the accolades that a man put on you? What is it that's important in your life? I think it's time that we step back and say, things aren't important. Relationships are. That should be the big things. The relationship that we have with each other, the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. Those are the things that they ought to talk about when we leave this world. And like one preacher pointed out, life's not a dress rehearsal. It's the real thing. So if you didn't get your makeup on just right, well, I'm sorry. This is just the way it is. And just because our clothes don't match, well, that's okay too. It's just who we are. And it is real, and it's what we get to. One day we will stand. This world will be past. There'll be a casket here. And a lifeless body will be in it. It won't be you, because you're not here. It won't be me, because I don't plan on being here. Not going to be any part of that right there. But just as life came, and just as many times as I've had to look out the windshield of my truck at what is out ahead, I could see in the rearview mirror what has already come from behind. Which way are you looking? Which is the most important now? You can't change back there. It's already passed. But you sure in the world can make a difference tomorrow. You can make a difference in someone's lives. You can do what Jesus called us to do, to go into all the world. You can go and find out the prayer that Moses left us in the 90th division of the Psalms. We can react to that right there and said, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. He wants to be that every single day. His beauty, not yours, not mine, his. That's what we should be taking to the world tomorrow. Let's pray.